The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I want to go to looking at this majlis itself right here, talking about some of the history and the purposes behind the majlis of Imam Hussein, and what is it that we can do to make the most out of it. And I want to ask myself and remind myself of its importance, and what can I do and what we all can do to make the most out of this gathering here. This majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not something that we can look at in isolation. We have to realize its significance. We have to realize its history. When was the first majlis of Imam Hussein actually carried out? Well, you can look at it from different angles, and depends on what you classify as a majlis. Maybe you could say that the first one happened with the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because as you know, in the narrations, we're told that when the grandfather of Imam Hussein, the Prophet of Allah, when his grandson was given to him, rather than showing that joy that a grandfather would normally show at the birth of his grandson, he began to weep. And when Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam asked him as to the reason for his tears, he was forced to disclose to her the ultimate shahada and the injustice that would be wreaked upon his grandson. And at that time, Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam was concerned. She was worried. She said that who is going to be there to mourn for him? Because if it's not just he who is going to be martyr, but along with his close companions as well too, then will it just be the case that his blood is then spilt, and then his what he stood for and his remembrance will then come to an end? And the Prophet assured her at that time that there will always be a people, both men and women, who will come together and they will mourn and remember Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So the origins of the majlis are very ancient. And if you go into the day of Ashura itself, when Sayyidah Shuhada alayhi salam is being martyred, you see that the first mourner is his own sister, Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. And she's the one who is crying, and she's the one who's mourning. And then after that event, both she and Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, they continue this, a tradition of mourning. At that time, it was done in the homes because of the political situation. It didn't allow for there to be any type of group commemorations. It was done in the homes. This continued to the time of Imam Baqir and Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. As you know, in that time period, because of the political situation, the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt were given a bit more space to be able to perform and carry out their expressions of Shiism. And so we see during that time that the majalis were held in, again, not in an open way, but still it was something that was becoming more widespread. The imams would invite poets in different occasions. In one of them, for example, the Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he invites a famous poet by the name of Ja'far ibn Affan. And he says that, I want you to recount for us the martyrdom of my grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein has his close companions there. He has his family there. And the poet Ja'far ibn Affan, he begins to say his poetry until everyone is weeping. Imam Sadiq's beard is wet with tears. And he says to him that, you should know that, Ja'far, that when we are doing this right now, the angels have gathered. And they are crying like we are crying. Rather, their tears and their weeping is even more than our tears. The Imam alayhi salam tells Ja'far about the gathering of the angels. He tells him that because of what you've done, your sins have been forgiven. He tells him that This is not just something which is related to this particular gathering, but rather anytime you have a group of believers who come together and they cry and they make each other cry over the martyrdom of my grandfather Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they too will receive that same reward. So what is this? This is the establishment of an institution, of a system, of a culture. In the times of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he is able to establish the majalis in a semi-formal manner. And even the Khalifa of that time also participates in mourning over Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So this was something that was put into place by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And so it becomes a sacred gathering, a sacred institution. And that's something which I feel that we need to appreciate and understand. Because sometimes, you know, when something becomes routine, then we might treat it like, well, it's routine. You know, I have to go to my work during the weekdays. I have to go to school after Labor Day. I have to do this. And I have to go to Majalis and Muharram. Okay, so I got to do that as well too. I'll just do it. No, it's not just about doing it. Right? This is not an ordinary thing. It requires special attention. What are some of the etiquette that we can observe when it comes to the Majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? One of them is the concept of ikhlas, that we come here purely for the sake of Allah. Now, part of that, of course, is, you know, not doing it just to be shown, or not to like doing it so that we can, you know, put ourselves on social media and say, look at, I'm the Husseini warrior who's the one who's volunteering and putting together the programs. That's obvious. But part of it is also the concept of coming purely for the sake of Allah, meaning that I'm not doing it just because it's my yearly routine, where I have those set of black clothes, I gotta put them on, I gotta come in, and then I'm done. No. You know, the Imams, they warned us against this concept of just falling into the habit of doing things out of habit. Right? For example, they would tell us that don't judge a mu'min by their prayers and by their fasting. But they would say, don't judge them by their praying and their fasting. Why? Because how often it can be the case that a believer gets into the habit of doing these acts of worship, and if they were to leave them aside, they would just feel discomfort. But rather, you should judge them by seeing how they fulfill their promises and how much they speak the truth, because these are true markers of the character of a believer. I'm sure you've heard this hadith. It requires some depth of understanding to get the message of the Imams from here. That sometimes it can be the case that we do things because we're just uncomfortable if we don't do them. But that's the extent to the depth with which we engage in it. Am I praying because I'm talking to the Rabbul Arbab, and I'm talking to Malikul Muluk, I'm talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm talking to the one who owns every single aspect about me, including my very own existence? Do I feel that I'm standing in front of the one who ultimately decides everything that has to do with my benefit and my loss, my very life and my death? Oftentimes, no. I'm praying because I have to pray. That's it. I'm just doing it. Same thing when it comes to the Majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That I shouldn't just be coming just because of that. I should be coming trying to understand that this is something important for me. There's some deep gifts that Allah Ta'ala has always placed in the remembrance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for the believers. There are some barriers in the spiritual journeys of individuals that cannot be broken except through the remembrance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I need these majalis. And I need to be here not just with my body, but with my heart as well too.
Ya Aba Abdillah, Ya Hussein, Ya Mawlai, Ya Ibn Zahra, Ya Ibn Taha, Ya Ibn Zahra, Ya Ibn Taha. يا ابن زهرة يا ابن طه يا ابن زهرة يا ابن طه يا ابن زهرة يا ابن طه يا ابن
ابن زهرا يا ابن طه.